Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee here on the Stillman and Company program. Connor Newt is in today on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Connor, hello.
Hello, Jared.
So I am back. I don't know if anybody missed me. I have no idea. But I am not one of these guys that gets into their vacation that says, oh, let me tell you about my trip. I'll tell you, we had this issue at the airport, and then we had this with the rental car, and we had this, and we had that, and we had them all. And I'm not one of those guys that does that. Quite frankly, I'm just not sure that many people care. I mean, to be completely fair, I just don't think that there's enough people out there that care. They care about my vacation, your vacation, or anybody else's. When somebody asks you, hey, did you have a good vacation? Yeah, it's great. It's usually how I operate. But I do want to start on this. One little story that has to do with something I realized while I was gone. Now, Connor, how old are you?
I'm 21 years of age.
Connor is 21 years old. I knew he was really, really young. That was the point.
Thanks.
Connor, have you ever seen the movie Major League?
Of course. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. So most people your age, I'm going to venture to guess, probably have not seen that movie. One thing I absolutely hate is when the radio guy gets on there in sports radio and says, it's kind of like the movie, when, again, most people haven't seen whatever movie it is that you are referencing. In this case, Connor has seen the movie Major League. So while I was on vacation, we stayed at basically a vacation home and not a hotel. So it wasn't hotel TV channels or anything like that. It was regular television. And Connor, at 21 years old, bless your heart, probably doesn't remember what these days were like. But there used to be, back in the day, a moment where you would flip through the channels. And the cable channels used to show movies, and those movies would have commercials. This was pre-streaming service. Connor, do you remember those days?
Yeah, of course.
You got your TV show.
That's good. So the movie Major League was on. And again, I'm not going to take for granted that people have seen the movie Major League, although Connor has seen the movie Major League. And Lindsay had never seen the movie Major League. Why would she? She doesn't really like sports. She's not from America. Why would she? And if you haven't seen the movie Major League, it is an all-time classic. It is obviously a baseball movie. It's about the old Cleveland Indians with the old throwback uniforms. But it was a roster of players that were assembled to lose. A bunch of players that nobody had ever heard of. And nobody gave a chance to win. And it was one of those stories. It was very funny, but everybody bands together and they find a way. And I'm sitting there watching Major League, which I haven't watched in full in 15 years, at least. And I'm seeing all these top 10 lists that are coming out, where ESPN is talking to league executives and scouts and personnel people, and they're compiling the top 10 running backs and the top 10 edge rushers and the top 10 defensive tackles and the top 10 safeties and the top 10 tight ends and the top 10, and they do it this time every year, and there are almost no Titans on it. And it hit me. The 2025 Titans are those Cleveland Indians from the movie Major League. A ragtag group of nobodies. The only guys that are on the team that are paid any money or overpaid, underperforming, just like Jeffrey Simmons, who's more worried about his car and his own free time than he is his lack of sacks. And the Titans are a team just like that fictitious Cleveland Indians team with Willie Mays Hayes on it that is set up to fail. I wonder if Titan fans, it's almost like the week of not talking about the Titans has provided clarity for me just about how bad this upcoming season might be. And before you say, oh, Jared, you are just a hater, I want you to know, I'm not the one who made up a list of head coaches that are on the hot seat and then had to write another article following up on the coaches on the hot seat saying, whoops, I forgot about Brian Callahan. That wasn't me. That was Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. I'm not the one who put up a ranking of quarterbacks all by these separate tiers of 32 and did not include Cam Ward. That was Pardon My Take. I'm not the one putting together the list of top 10 players at each position and talking to league executives, scouts, coaches, and players about it. That's Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. And I do believe that the Tennessee Titans know this. I think the Titans know they're going to be awful in 2025. And I think the Titans, and I'm talking about ownership and upper management, I think they're ultimately going to be okay with it. They won't come out and say that they're going to be bad because team morale, and they're trying to sell tickets. But I think they know. I think they're trying to build a team for 2027 when they open a new stadium. But I just don't know if you can really do that in the NFL. Plan out years ahead and say, we're building a team for 3 years from now. I don't think you can really do that. They do that in baseball. They do that in hockey. And sometimes they do that in baseball and hockey and it doesn't work. But they do that in baseball. They do that in hockey. I don't think you can do that in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins are the last team that completely tore it down and tanked to try to build up a winner. And then they spent big because they were trying to be winners. And now it looks like the Miami Dolphins are back to tanking. The other thing, I think that when you do try to build up a team, I believe you build it around a veteran quarterback and then go get the young quarterback the way that Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore did it. But while I was gone, that happened to be the one consistent, which was, man, every time I pulled up Twitter on the For You tab, it was something about, oh, we forgot to include the Titans, silly us. Coaches on the hot seat, Mike McDaniel number one, this guy number two, this guy number three. Forget about three-win Brian Callahan. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot Brian Callahan. Whoops, that's my bad. That's my bad. Brian Callahan, sorry, forgot about him, that he sucks. Top 10 lists, running back. Nope, don't see Tony Pollard on there. Tight end. I don't even think people inside the league know who the Titans' tight end is. The big Titans stories, the big needle-moving things that, again, ended up on my algorithm For You tabs were all negative stuff. Jim Wyatt's worried about Tavondre Sweat's weight. Really? That one popped up on Titans Stationery. People angry at the Pardon My Take guys for completely forgetting about Cam Ward. Because right now, to everybody, the Titans are truly the most irrelevant team in the entire NFL. And I remember as a kid, even when the Titans were bad. Now, I never remember a year where they went into it saying like, oh yeah, this team's awful, there's no hope, and I don't know what to say. I don't ever remember a year like that as a kid. Maybe I was more optimistic. Maybe the team just happened to be better in most of those years. I mean, again, I know Cam Ward was the number one overall pick, but Cam Ward didn't even make it to the ACC championship game. When I was a kid, the Titans drafted Vince Young, who had just single-handedly won the national title. So there was always, I guess, some reason for hope. But even when the Titans weren't supposed to be good, I used to always have this, well, they'll show them. They'll show them. And for the most part, they kind of did oftentimes. But even in the years they didn't, I never thought, oh, man, this is going to be awful. This time last year, when I had just gotten back from vacation, I went to the Bahamas, I got an infection in my leg, I went to the hospital because it was 9 p.m. on a Sunday, and they were like, eh, I should probably get that just looked at. So my dad and I went, And the doctor was a listener of the show, and my dad and I were talking. My dad goes, "You really think the Titans are going to be that bad?" I said, "Yeah, I think they're going to be that bad." I said, "I know that a lot of people want to believe otherwise, but you know the right tackle story, and I know what Floyd meant when he said it. I was the one he said it to. People are trying to say, oh, no, you don't understand, Jared. Bill Callahan, he'll fix it. But I know what he meant by it." And we all saw in real time last season how that played out. Last year, I said this team's going to be bad. And I think people thought to themselves, well, they're not going to be that bad. You're just a hater. Now I even think there are some Titan fans that are looking at this team saying, man, this team's going to be awful. And again, I can't find a single positive YouTube video. I can't, but that's not like made by somebody who's clearly a bobo. You know, somebody just banging the drum for the team. I can't find anybody. I find more people who forget about the Titans than people who believe in the Titans. And that's not a good spot to be in the middle of July. Training camp hasn't even opened. And here I am sitting there thinking, this team is going to be awful. But that was pretty much every story that, again, popped up on the Design for Me algorithms while I was gone was about, oh, the Titans got left off that list. Or another ESPN top 10 where league executives ranked Derrick Henry the second best running back a year after ranking him ninth. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know when they say it's going to have to get worse before it gets better? I'm not sure it could get worse after last year with Will Levis at quarterback, but all signs are pointing to a repeat of last season this season. But maybe like when I was a kid back in the day, I used to think, they'll show them. Well, maybe we can cling to that. They'll show them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. And one texter's already said, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Enough sunshine pumping. You're getting us too excited for the season. I know. So I brought up these ESPN top 10 lists. And these are not ESPN's lists as much as they are lists compiled by ESPN. And the representation of the Titans is depressing. But you already knew that. But there was one that came out today that made me put my head in my hands. And just because I think the Titans are going to be awful does not mean that I think that I want the Titans to be awful. But there's a one thing today that absolutely killed me when I saw it. We'll get to that next.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers.
Yes, sir.
Wide receiver, LSU.
Yep.
Okay, Titans are on the clock now.
Now, one of these guys, Fashanu, Bowers, yep, and Turner are all left.
Okay, so here's what is acceptable by the Jared Stillman standards. Number one, Brock Bowers. That I would turn the card in right now. Yep. It would be Brock Bowers.
Ooh.
The second thing, does anybody have an objection to Brock Bowers?
No.
Okay.
Bill,
here you go. Here's
Goodell.
Here's Goodell.
In the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select J.C. Latham.
Oh, no! No!
After the tackle.
No! No! Oh, no! No, no, God.
You know what? The
no.
The liquid in Jared's glass.
Man.
Hey, do you believe it?
Clear?
Hey, Jared, do you
and
believe?
Brown.
Do you believe in Bill Callahan? Do you believe in Bill Callahan?
1,000.
Do you or do you not? But this is a question. This is a serious question. Do you believe in Bill Callahan? Jared.
Draft night 2024. Titans on the clock. And I'm saying Brock Bowers, and the Titans drafted J.C. Latham. What did they say at the time? You'll see, Jared, let Rand cook. So ESPN every year, Jeremy Fowler compiles this list. They put out a top 10 list of the best players at each position. And as they write in this, quote, a reminder of the rankings process. Voters gave us their 10 best players at a position. Then we compiled the results and ranked the candidates based on the number of top 10 votes. It was a composite average of dozens of interviews with research and film study from ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen. In total, more than 70 voters submitted a ballot on at least one position, and in many cases, all positions. Additional voting and follow-up calls with those surveys help us break any ties. Each selection includes quotes and nuggets, blah, 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 blah. But again, the objective was to identify the best players for 2025. This was not a five-year projection or a career achievement award. Who are the best players today? So again, what they do, ESPN talks to execs, coaches, and scouts. That's it. They've already had the running backs, defensive tackles, edge rushers, safeties, and today it was tight ends. And number one, according to the league executives, scouts, coaches, at tight end in the NFL was Brock Bowers. Fowler writes, Bowers makes history in our top 10 poll. He's the first player to ever rank number one at his position after his rookie year. From Joe Burrow to Justin Jefferson and Sauce Gardner, many came close but couldn't quite pull off the feat. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that Joe Burrow, after winning like four games his rookie year with a torn ACL, would have ranked ahead of Tom Brady. That's just me. But again, from those guys, nobody could pull off the feat. Bowers, however, narrowly outdistanced George Kittle in the polls after carrying more than 50% of the first place votes. He was the highest graded overall player in the 2024 draft class in the eyes of some NFL scouts, but the position he plays, coupled with a strong quarterback draft and morons drafting inside the top 10, I put that in there, let me just say. But I included the morons part, but let's agree. Dropped into the 13th pick. Quote, great person, hard worker, instinctive, great hands, matchup problem due to his speed and athleticism with an elite run after the catch ability, an NFC executive said. Added an NFL coordinator, he sort of just floats around out there and the game comes naturally to him. That could have been your tight end. And if I was your general manager and not Rand Carthon, he would be your tight end. Instead, the Titans are barely represented on this list. And on this list, they do not only the top 10 players, but a bunch of honorable mentions. For instance, number 10, the number 10 tight end is David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns. Then there's the honorable mention list. And I don't even know how many this is. Dalton Kincaid, Pat Freiermuth, Hunter Henry, Evan Ingram, Cole Kmet, Jake Ferguson, and Jonnu Smith. That is seven honorable mentions. Then there are the guys also receiving votes. Dalton Schultz, Tucker Kraft, Kyle Pitts, Juwan Johnson, and Zach Ertz. That's what, another five? So we're talking about a total of 22. No Chig Okonkwo. By the way, running back, same story. No Tony Pollard. Edge rusher. No Arden Key. Not that anybody would have ever expected Arden Key to be on the edge rusher group. Amani Hooker does not make it with the safeties. Only Jeffrey Simmons, who is ranked fourth at defensive tackle, is representing the Titans in any capacity so far on these lists. That being said, quite frankly, I'd be shocked if there were any other Titans that represented the team on the list. Cam Ward's not a top 10 quarterback. At least not yet. And what this goes to show you, what this goes to show me, is just how horrendously the Titans were run under Rand Carthon, which again goes back to my belief. And I put out a poll during the season, and I said, who do you think could run the Titans better? Me or Rand Carthon slash Chad Brinker? I always included them together because when the Titans decided to take J.C. Latham over Brock Bowers, Chad Brinker was technically the president of football operations and was technically Rand Carthon's boss. Although apparently, technically, Rand Carthon was the one who had the choice to take J.C. Latham. But I go back to what I said this time last, or what I said when the season was going on, and I kept telling you guys, hey, these people don't know football. I kept saying, I could do this job better than they can. And there's a whole level of discussion about Brinker in this. Because when these top 10 lists come out and they highlight just how bad Rand Carthon was as a general manager of the Titans, and we'll get to him and Vrabel, because Vrabel's not innocent in this either. But when it highlights how bad of a job Rand Carthon did, taking a crappy guard with the 11th overall pick in the draft, taking a right tackle who they tried to play at left tackle, who really should be playing right tackle, over Brock freaking Bowers in the first round, a nose tackle who doesn't sack the quarterback and apparently doesn't help anybody else sack the quarterback, because if Tavondre Sweat did help the other team or help his other guy sack the quarterback, Jeffrey Simmons wouldn't be bitching all the time about how he does his job and he's not getting any help. So again, there's a whole Brinker element to this, which is, what the hell were you doing through all of this? Because I do believe Chad Brinker got a paycheck from the Tennessee Titans. So I guess he just didn't do anything, and then he got promoted, because why not? But that's a different discussion. Because he had to be doing something when they put this ragtag group of nobodies together. But what I really believe is that the head coach and the general manager are the two people inside the building that are responsible for winning and losing. An offensive coordinator can get another job, and nobody will ever look and say, hey, wasn't Josh McDaniels the offensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams when they finished 32nd? Nobody ever talks about that. They only remember the good stuff, and they only say things like, oh yeah, he was defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl, so he got that job. And that's how it works in the NFL, and I'm fine with that. The buck stops with the general manager and the coach. They get all the credit. They get all the blame. But this team is so bad right now. And J-Rob's not innocent in all this either. But again, I mean, his last draft class are in their last years contractually in the NFL. So now it really is the Rand, Vrabel, and Brinker and this group show. But I just cannot get over when I saw Brock Bowers, number one tight end. And then the only thing about Chig Okonkwo, I remember when Chig got up to the podium for the offseason program and talked about all the vacations he was taking. He went to, I believe it was the UK and Brazil and Australia and Costa Rica and Japan, and Chig's like, yeah, I went all these places. And so when I went on the midday show that day, I said to Derek, I go, hey, Derek, how many vacations did you take when you played in the NFL in the offseason before you got back home and dialed in on the next year? And Derek was like, well, you know, I really only took one vacation every year, but that was because I had to get back to training and working out and, you know, doing the things that it took for him to be good. And the difference between D-Mace and Chig Okonkwo is that D-Mace was good, and Chig Okonkwo was not. In fact, not only did Chig Okonkwo spend his entire offseason before the OTA program out traveling around, doing everything, not working on football, Cam Ward, I saw this from a tweet that Kaharski had while I was out. There's a 19-minute video of Cam Ward throwing, just a throwing session with receivers out in Miami. And my favorite part is it starts off with Cam Ward claiming he's not late because they're waiting on, guess who? Chig. Play the cut.
What you mean? Hey, we said 4:30. I got here at 4:18. Man.
Just sit here and just wait on you.
You got to stretch on everything, man. I'm here on time. 15 seconds. We still waiting on Chig. Huh? We still waiting on Chig.
I got to get out of here, bud.
Ellie, you need to call your teammate Chi. Tell him to hurry the f*** up.
So?
Chi.
Hi, girl.
Yeah.
Five.
You know, yeah, you know they do their own.
Hey, tell Chig to hurry up. Hey, yeah, you know, Chig. Those guys, they do their own thing. Yeah, it's called losing. They're very good at it. Eddie, if I was your general manager, you'd have Brock Bowers, and there is no way to question that. We just played the evidence coming back where I said, okay, if I'm the general manager, I'm running the card in right now. It is a Brock Bowers with the seventh overall pick, the best tight end in the NFL. Instead, let Rand cook, baby! And now you'll pay for it because your team is awful this year and your tight end who stinks and is in a contract year can't even be bothered to take time off of his vacation to show up on time for a throwing session that he said he was going to be at. Boy, they're really setting that Cam Ward up for success. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in, so we'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, there was one other thing, and it's not just Rand. Let me say this. It's not just Rand, but there is a co-conspirator when it comes to this, who I think should be taking some heat for one thing I saw in these ESPN lists of where they talk to executives and coaches and scouts, and they say, okay, rank the top 10 players. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's 1025-1063.
What does it mean to you to kind of, you know, for the Ravens to go and, you know, commit to you for even more than, you know, was last year as well?
You know, I'm just very grateful for this organization. You know, just like last year, coming off the season I had, you know, I wasn't really happy, and, you know, I wanted to prove myself and just get an opportunity, and they gave me that opportunity, and, you know, I'm very appreciative of how much, you know, they value me to give me an extension, and, you know, I just want to show them how much it means to me, how much this organization means to me by the way I work and what I do on the field.
There you go. That was Derrick Henry. So with these ESPN lists that are coming out about, hey, we've asked the coaches, we've asked the executives, like, hey, let's rank them. Another person who would still be a Tennessee Titan if I was running the show is Derrick Henry. And I clicked the running backs list when I was on vacation. I just wanted to see where Tony Pollard ranked on the list. And the answer was, Tony Pollard does not rank on the list. In fact, here's who all gets an honorable mention and a receiving votes. This tells you how far down the list Tony Pollard is. And Tony Pollard might be like the third or fourth best player on this team. Honorable mentions outside of the top 10. Bucky Irving, Aaron Jones, Devon Achane, Breece Hall, James Conner. I really got to say, how did Tony Pollard not get on this list? Receiving votes, Kyren Williams, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson, Chuba Hubbard, DeAndre Swift, and Kenneth Walker III. Where does Derrick Henry rank on this list? Derrick Henry ranks second, behind Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to argue that. Saquon Barkley might be the best player in the NFL right now. Derrick Henry, number two. Derrick Henry's ranking last season amongst the same group, the coaches, the executives, the scouts, was ninth. As far as the NFL, the grouping of voters is concerned, Derrick Henry's highest ranking in this list by a voter was number one. His lowest ranking was number six. Again, last year, Derrick Henry ranked ninth. An AFC executive said, quote, "He'll slow down at some point, but he's got elite body composition and elite work ethic. He's a monster. No one wants to tackle him. And then when he wears you down, that's when he breaks off that big run." You want to know why Derrick Henry ranked ninth on this list a year ago? Because of the horse crap team that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel had put around him. The one that had Andre Dillard at left tackle. The one that drafted a crappy left guard with the 11th overall pick. The one that had a 270-pound center who couldn't snap, that got Ryan Tannehill killed. That group. And because they decided, hey, let's single up Myles Garrett at the end of the first half with Andre Dillard. Derrick Henry, with his team trailing by multiple scores in most of those second halves, didn't get the ball. And Derrick still ran for 1,500 yards. And yet, they were convinced, the Titans were, that Derrick Henry was done. Derrick Henry said it himself. He went on Dan Patrick. He said, I don't even think they believed in me. He said it on Bussin' with the Boys after he had done his exit interview with Rand Carthon. He said, they're going in a different direction, and that's okay. So if there was any question to you about just how bad that Rand Carthon-Mike Vrabel collaboration was, the fact that Derrick Henry dropped to ninth only to rebound when he's on a good team in a well-run organization to second is the perfect indication. Carthon and Vrabel made everybody think that Derrick Henry was a part of the solution. Well, that is everybody except for me. Because I knew, excuse me, they made Derrick look like he was part of the problem. I knew Derrick was part of the solution. Young quarterback, I was banging the drum saying, hold on, you might want to bring Derrick Henry back now. And the reason I bring this up is because even though Vrabel's gone and Carthon's gone, and I don't miss either guy, even though they're both gone, what got you in that ridiculous collaboration, this is going to work, was Amy thinking she could just will the football team into competitiveness without any understanding of what it actually takes to build a good football team. And the only reason I have a serious problem with that is because Amy should know better. The Titans should know better. But they don't. And that's why I have no faith going forward, is because of stuff like this. 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, thank goodness Jared is back. Those other guys were awful. They also constantly talk smack about him on his own show. Connor Newt, weren't you in while I was out? So what's this talking smack?
I didn't talk smack about you. I promise you. You can ask Jake Lyman.
Texter said.
Texter's lying.
You know what? Texters lie a lot. But I, or at least they mishear from time to time. You know, I get a Jared, you said, and it's all almost always the opposite of what I said. So that I understand. One texter says, do you have some master plan to someday become a GM of the Titans or another NFL team? The answer to that is no. Now, let me just say this. If I got offered a general manager job, would I take it? Yes, I would. And before you say, holy crap, that's a ridiculous thing to even say, just know that our Secretary of Defense for the United States of America was hosting television on Fox News a year ago. So it is possible. Like, it is actually possible. This stuff happens more often than you think. Mike Pence was a talk show host in Indiana before he ran for Congress, then he ran for governor, then he became vice president of the United States of America. So it is possible to go from talk show host to vice president. So don't forget that. I know you people don't want to hear this. I know you people are going to say that Jared's talking out of his ass, and maybe there's something to that. But let me just say, I think if I became general manager of an NFL team, it'd certainly never be the Titans. But if I became general manager of an NFL team, I actually think I would do a pretty good job. And here's why I think I would do a pretty good job. I think I'd do a pretty good job because one of my first hires would be kind of a consigliere hire. Consigliere. I kept talking about Brock Bowers in the last segment about how on draft night, I'm sitting there saying Bowers, 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 Bowers. And you want to know who really made me see the light last year when it came to Bowers? Mark Domenech, the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Mark Domenech's record in Tampa Bay was not very good. because he drafted Josh Freeman, and that was a mistake. But Mark Dominic was general manager of the Buccaneers when he was like my age, 35. Well, Mark Dominic's like 50 now. And we had Mark Dominic on the day of the draft. And Mark Dominic said, hey, if I was general manager when I was 35 years old, and Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan were telling me we got to take the tackle, and I'm thinking we got to take Brock Bowers. If I was 35 years old, I probably would have gone along with the rest of the group. At 50 years old, I would have said we're going to take Brock Bowers, and then we'll figure it out. And that's the kind of guy that I would hire. So that is kind of the most important guy that I'm leaning on the most is that guy who I know knows ball and knows how to do the job. And then I think other than that, it's just the people skills and it's an understanding of value, which is how you don't take a defensive tackle who can't rush the passer with the 38th pick in the draft. Leadership, what value does that have? Chigakonkwo won't even show up on time for a workout, but I'm going to let Derrick Henry walk out the door? So do I have a master plan to become general manager of an NFL team? No, I don't. But I think I could do it. Now, again, how good of a general manager would I be or would I not be? I don't know. I mean, if I had Sam Darnold at quarterback last year and Brock Bowers at tight end, I think I'd be pretty good. But no, there's no master plan to be a general manager. But let me take this opportunity to say, if I got offered one, I ain't turning it down. Now, the NHL, I got no shot. I mean, I just say it right now. Like, when it comes to the Predators, it's like, well, if you're so smart, why don't you go be general manager? I got no shot of being a general manager of the NHL. Though, I think some of those guys are stupid. I hear Elliot Friedman, and take Elliot with what Elliot says with a grain of salt, because he's talking to agents and teams, and so the New Jersey Devils keep Cody Glass or whatever, and Elliot puts out there, you know, a lot of people wanted Cody Glass around the league, so the Devils said, well, we should just keep him because Cody Glass is good. And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, I'm just telling you, he's not good. But I couldn't be an NHL GM. I could be an NFL general manager. I'm dead serious. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. Plus, there is some NFL news that I mean, I don't get it, but it ain't my problem and it ain't your problem, so it's not our problem, but good God. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Stillman and Company. So I know a lot of people think it's crazy that I just said I think I could be a general manager in the NFL. Again, I'm not campaigning for a job as far as general manager in the NFL is concerned. I think I could do it. And who knows, you know, there's a lot of things that go into play as to whether or not you'd be any good. Who knows if I'd be good? I think I'd be good. I just know I wouldn't be as bad as some of the guys that have those positions now. And apparently, I don't think I'd be as bad as one guy who just got an extension within the last hour. Talk about a Friday news dump. Adam Schefter, quote, the Chicago Bears and general manager Ryan Poles have reached agreement on a contract extension that ties him to Chicago for the next 5 years through the 2029 season. Poles had 2 years remaining on his old deal, but now the Bears have him and new head coach Ben Johnson both under contract for a matching 5 seasons. Wow, the Bears are stupid. So, let me get this straight. The Chicago Bears hired Ryan Poles to be the general manager. Ryan Poles hired Matt Eberflus to be the head coach. They hired them together. So, then they decide with Matt Eberflus as the head coach, they go 2 years with Justin Fields, and they end up with the number one overall draft choice, because they made that deal with Carolina in order to move back for Bryce Young, and they end up with Caleb Williams. So I think Fields would have gotten a third year in Chicago if it wasn't for the fact that they had the number one pick, but they did, and I would have done what they did. I would have taken Caleb Williams. But at that time, I remember saying, why is Matt Eberflus still the coach of the Bears? And I was doing Sirius XM, and I was doing the late night show right around the end of the 2023 season. And I believe the second to last week, Chicago had clinched the number one pick because of Carolina's terribleness. And I said, they're taking Caleb Williams. Anybody who tells you any different is lying. They are taking Caleb Williams, period. And then I said, but why are you bringing back Matt Eberflus? He's a defensive coach. Why would you bring in a coach on the hot seat or keep a coach on the hot seat when you bring in a rookie quarterback, knowing that you're probably going to fire Eberflus in a year, and then you're going to have to teach that young quarterback all over again how to do everything? And I remember taking a call when this guy was like, Jared, you don't understand. Eberflus is a good coach, and they just hired Shane Waldron, and he's the best offensive coordinator in the NFL. And you'll see, you don't get it. And I texted Ryan Porth, who's the assistant program director up at the big station in Chicago, and I said to Porth, I go, Porth, I said, is this guy not on the hot seat? He said, yeah, I don't think Eberflus is on the hot seat. I said, Eberflus sitting on the hot seat? Really? And we all know what happened with the Bears last year. And they've just extended their general manager? I think the guy's record is something like 16-39 as general manager. 275 winning percentage, zero playoff appearances, zero division titles, 15-36, and twice they finished in last place. 3 years before getting another extension, his best season was 7-10. Again, I think I can do better than that. Do I think I am Howie Roseman or would become Howie Roseman? No. Do I think I can do better than that? Yeah. Do I think I could do better than Rand Carthon? Yeah, I do. And let's not kid ourselves. You know, the Caleb Farley thing. I mean, I was like, absolutely not. No, you don't. No, you're not drafting that guy. And they did it anyways. Let's go to Doug, who's been waiting patiently. He is up next here on our program. Doug, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
I love you, but George Costanza's job as the traveling secretary for the New York Yankees is safe. You don't have experience in any of this. They're not going to replace somebody with you.
I don't understand why you think that Ryan Poles would be better than me. Do you not think that as general manager I could have a 275 winning percentage?
I love you, but you're going to – you just made my Friday. I'm driving and laughing my head off, but you're going to have to tip the girls at the club because I don't need to buy beers now. You are just – you're fantastic, and I know you're sincere, but it's hilarious. You have a great weekend.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand, though, how could it be worse than what happened here? How could I have done worse than the last two seasons the Titans have had? How could I have made worse picks than Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham and Tavondre Sweat and Tajay Spears in the third round? Again, think about the things that I have been the strongest on in terms of for and against, the strongest on keeping Derrick Henry, the strongest against L'Jarius Sneed. See, there's something that I think a lot of times people don't understand, and that to me is common sense. And a lot of times guys get jobs thinking, you know, one day I want to be a general manager in the NFL. But nobody really knows what anybody in any of these other organizations, nobody knows what they do for a living. I was actually thinking about this with the mafia the other day. You know, the consigliere, a term I've already used, that is kind of the right-hand man to the Don, right? The consigliere. In the case of Tony Soprano, it was Silvio Dante who ran the Bada Bing Club. In the case of Vito Corleone, it was Tom Hagen who was a lawyer. Two very different guys. And again, what that tells you is that in your individual organization, just because you have a title doesn't necessarily mean what you do or what you're responsible for. And so a lot of these guys, we don't know what the director of player development does in Kansas City. We don't know what the assistant general manager does. No matter what they tell you, you have no idea how involved or not involved Mike Borgonzi was in John Dorsey and Andy Reid drafting Patrick Mahomes. Now, after it works, everybody over there will tell you that, oh yeah, I remember the meetings. I stood up on the table and I told them. Boy, Connor, I love you, but I don't know if you have the experience for the story I'm about to tell for you to be able to tell me I can tell it or not. I want to name names. Like, I want to name names on something, but I'm not going to do that. Just
do it.
You know, I think, like, if Ian was here, I could ask Ian, and, like, Ian would kind of be like, ah, I don't know, bro. There was a guy who worked for the Titans when Floyd was general manager. And I think he was a scout, something like that. And Floyd's gone, so, I mean, you know, what's he? I don't think he's even going to be mad at me. And I'm not going to mention the guy's name, although I kind of want to. And the NFL came to Floyd. NFL security. And they said to him, hey, we've got it through our NFL security investigation channels that this guy working for you has been selling players' phone numbers to agents, which is an absolute no-no. Floyd calls the guy into the office, and he says, did you sell these guys the players' phone numbers? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to fire you, and I don't ever want to see you again. I don't ever want to hear about you again, and if I do, we're going to have problems, which was basically his way of saying, don't you ever try to get a job in the NFL again, or I'm going to tell everybody what you did. Guy left the office. Floyd never heard from him again. Years later, this guy starts trying to become a media guy. And he starts telling stories of, when I worked for the Titans and we were deciding to draft Eddie George. And I remember telling him, being like, hey, this guy's going on the radio in other cities, and he's talking about when you guys decided to draft Eddie George. And Floyd laughed like, yeah, we gave a rat's ass what that guy thought. It's a long-winded way of saying, you don't know what everybody does. And clearly, Rand Carthon didn't do anything important in San Francisco because the guy didn't know football. Again, I have common sense. I know what I don't know because I worked with somebody who did know. And so the first thing I do if I got hired as general manager is to hire somebody who does know. Then when it comes to the people skills and everything else, I think I've got enough. The most important thing is accountability. And you have to be accountable yourself in order to hold others accountable. I think I could do it. Again, I don't think I could be worse than Ryan Poles. And he just got extended for the next 5 years. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. Plus, a story that wasn't a story, but I'm actually starting to think this may be a pretty good story. Like, it's actually kind of juicy now. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.